Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can taste and smell a fresh manna. Today you'll be listening to Mac Mills, pastor of Irons, Frankfort, and Manistee Seventh-day Adventist churches. And now, here's Mac.
How does war end? How do you bring about the end of a war? Well, first off, what is war? The sad answer is it's killing each other. So how does war end? Usually ends by one killing more than the other. What an unpleasant subject. But looking at the end of World War II, Harry S. Truman was told that they had a bomb and they could kill one city at a time. And he was told that this could end the war quickly. There was another option, and they explained that the other option was to invade Japan, and that would involve going through the cities and invading through the city, through the countryside of Japan, and they would have to kill many, perhaps 1 million or more. Or the other option was to kill one city. So President Truman selected the bomb. In total, two bombs were dropped and 150,000 people died, but that was the end of the war. Sorry about such an unpleasant subject, but you realize now we are in the great controversy. It's war. Here we are in the great controversy in war. This war, this great controversy will end. And unfortunately, when it ends, some will die. But I want to encourage you to be on God's side. Be ready for God. My sermon is Ready for Emmanuel. You know the song, O come, Emmanuel. It's really a very sad song. It's actually a tune that is mourning, a mournful tune. And the question is, are you ready? Those that would sing it, they're waiting. The first verse of O Come Emmanuel says, ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Ready, waiting, in mourning, in exile. That's us here. There's also the other side of the great controversy, and those are not ready. There are people out there having fun. Isaiah 56 verse 12 says, come ye, they say, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Yes, they're having fun. They're not in exile. Their home is here. I have family. Perhaps you have family as well that is not ready for God to come. And so, as I have family that is not ready for God to come, in some way I mourn. My family mourns that this one is not ready. Perhaps you do as well with your family member that may not be ready for God to come. There's really two sides to when Jesus comes again. There's two sides, and that's one side that is ready for salvation. They're looking forward to God coming again. They're ready for salvation. And the other side is not ready. They're not ready, and unfortunately that means destruction. Isaiah 63, verses 1 through 10. Who is this that comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treads in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury, it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them, according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie, so he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled, and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Those are the two sides. Those that are ready for salvation, they see it, they're ready. Those that are not ready, unfortunately, destruction is coming. The song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, has quite a few verses. 7 verses total here. Let me read here verse 1. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. This matches up with Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7, verse 14, it says here, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This sign was given as a signal of safety in a bad-looking situation. You know, in our world, in our situation right now, we need comfort. We need the comfort of God with us. We need the comfort of God with us. Israel said that they were ready for Emmanuel, but they weren't. And it is a serious issue. It's a serious issue. Desire of Ages, page 52. What meaning then was attached to Christ's presentation? But the priest did not see through the veil. He did not read the mystery beyond. The presentation of infants was a common scene. Day after day, the priest received the redemption money as the babes were presented to the Lord. Day after day, he went through the routine of his work, giving little heed to the parents or children, unless he saw some indication of the wealth or high rank of the parents. Joseph and Mary were poor, and when they came with their child, the priest only saw a man and woman dressed as Galileans and in the humblest garments. There was nothing in their appearance to attract attention, and they presented only the offering made by the poorer classes. The priest went through the ceremony of his official work. He took the child in his arms and held it up before the altar. After handing it back to its mother, he inscribed the name, Jesus, on the roll of the firstborn. Little did he think, as the babe lay in his arms, that it was the majesty of heaven, the King of glory. The priest did not think that this babe was the one of whom Moses had written, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Acts 3:22. He did not think that this babe was he whose glory Moses had asked to see. But one greater than Moses lay in a priest's arms. And when he enrolled the child's name, he was enrolling the name of one who was the foundation of the whole Jewish economy. That name was to be its death warrant, for the system of sacrifices and offerings was waxing old. The type had almost reached its antitype, and the shadow its substance. The Shekinah had departed from the sanctuary, but in the child of Bethlehem was veiled the glory before which angels bow. This unconscious babe was the promised seed to whom the first altar at the gate of Eden pointed. This was Shiloh, the peace giver. It was he who declared himself to Moses as I am. It was he who in the pillar of cloud and fire had been the guide of Israel. This was he whom seers had long foretold. He was the desire of all nations, the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. The name of that helpless little babe enscrolled in the roll of Israel, declaring him our brother, was the hope of fallen humanity. The child for whom the redemption money had been paid was he who was to pay the ransom for the sins of the whole world. He was the true high priest over the house of God, the head of an unchangeable priesthood, the intercessor at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Verse 2 of Ready for Emmanuel. Verse 2 of this song says, O come thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in her ways to go. Isaiah chapter 33, verses 5 and 6. Isaiah 33, 5 and 6. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. You know, in our world, in our times right now, in our life, we want stability. Isn't that what we want? We want stability. Politicians claim to have wisdom. They say that they have solutions. But real, long-term prosperity requires his judgment, righteousness, his wisdom, his knowledge. That's where we can find stability and real prosperity. We need the fear of the Lord. Verse 3. O come, thou Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times did give the law in cloud and majesty and awe. Isaiah 11, verse 2. Isaiah 11, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 33 again. Isaiah 33, verse 13. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walks uprighteously and speaks uprightly. He that despises the gain of oppressions, that shakes his hands from holding of bribes, that stops his ears from hearing of blood, and shutting his eyes upon seeing evil. Those folks back in Jesus' day, they were hypocrites. They were hypocrites. They thought they were ready, but they were not. They were not ready. Isaiah 33, verse 14, Who among us shall dwell with devouring fire? Who can dwell with God? Answer, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. They needed fear. Isaiah 63, verse 17. They needed fear. Back in Jesus' day, I don't think they had much of that. Isaiah 63, verse 17. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake, the tribes of thine inheritance. There's a fear that we need. There's something in our hearts that we need to fear and respect God. Isaiah 64, verses 1 through 3. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, and that thou would come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burns, the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence, when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. You know, it was a scary event at Mount Sinai. Israel wanted to remember the awe and the wonder. Mount Sinai, scary in many ways, but they wanted to remember the awe and the wonder. They enjoyed the fact that they had been rescued from Egypt. That was great that they had been rescued from Egypt, but they did not have the fear and the trembling. They did not have the fear and the trembling. They did not have the responsibility of God's people. They were not feeling responsible for being God's people. They just enjoyed the awe and the wonder. Verse 4. O come, thou rod of Jesse's stem, from every foe deliver them, that trust thy mighty power to save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Isaiah 11, I'll start with verse 1, Isaiah 11, starting with verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is what that verse is talking about, this rod of Jesse's stem. And then verses 10 through 12, Isaiah 11, 10 through 12. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gathered together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Israel was spread out. They looked lost. Things seemed hopeless. But God's plan was that he would bring them together again. If he could bring them back together again and then bring life, that would be a wonderful thing. It was a lesson that was part of Israel's history. When they were selecting the high priest, and there was some debate as to whether or not Aaron should be the priest, they all cut some rods, and there was Aaron's rod. And you know, once you cut a branch off of a tree, it really doesn't do much anymore. So these sticks that they had cut off of the almond trees, they were cut. That meant that they were done. Once a branch has been cut, it's done. And yet Aaron's rod, as it sat by that Ark of the Covenant during the night, it bloomed, blossomed, there's flowers there. It wasn't done. And the same thing is true for Jesus. He is the ultimate high priest. For Jesus, he came out of a system, that Jewish system, that looked lost and done. What was it about that system that still had life and power and excitement? It looked lost, it looked done, and yet out of that system, Jesus came. Certainly not done. There was Jesus. Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, I'll read verse 21 and 22. Isaiah 60, 21 and 22. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Things may have looked little. Things may have looked hopeless. But the plan was that Jesus would come and he would bring life. He would bring hope. Things that may have looked little to them may have looked done. Suddenly there'd be hope and a new life there. Isaiah 61, verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. This verse here says that those that mourn will become trees of righteousness. They'll be called the planting of the Lord. But please notice in that verse, it's only those who mourn. Only those who mourn become those trees of righteousness. Verse 5. O come, thou key of David, come, and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, that we no more have cause to sigh. Isaiah 22, verse 22. That verse there is inspired by this verse here in Isaiah. Isaiah 22, verse 22. The key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open, and none shall shut. He shall shut, and none shall open. There is an opening that can't be taken away. Those that God opens the door for, he provides a way of salvation for them. There is an opening that cannot be taken away for them. But unfortunately, you see the second half of that verse. He shall shut, and none shall open. He also excludes those that are not ready. there are those who are not ready, and this says that they will be excluded. If they are not ready for Emmanuel, then they'll be shut, and they can't come in. Isaiah 16, verse 5. Isaiah 16, verse 5. And in mercy shall the throne be established. He shall sit upon it in truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness. Only because of mercy is righteousness brought to us here. It's in mercy shall the throne be established. Only because of mercy is righteousness brought to us here. Jesus came here in mercy. He brings us righteousness here, and that's how this righteousness is brought here, because of mercy. He brings that here with the goal so that we can go there. What a wonderful act of mercy. His coming here so that we can go there. Verse 6, O come, thou dayspring from on high, and cheer us by thy drawing nigh. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadow put to flight. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. Folks were in a shadow, but when Jesus came, there's light. Isaiah 10, verse 17. Isaiah 10, verse 17. The light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day. This is good for some. It's good for some that he will come, that he'll burn up this thorns and briars, but it's bad for those who are not ready. Think about that parable of the wheats and tares. The wheat, that's ready. At the harvest season, it's brought in, it's stored up. The tares, not ready. There's destruction there. So, ready for Emmanuel? When he comes, that's good for some, but bad for those who are not ready. Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, and for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And then also chapter 49, verses 5 and 7, similar verse there, Isaiah 49, 5 and 7. And now, says the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Not everyone likes Emmanuel. As we look at those verses, we see that there are those that are ready, and they like Emmanuel, but there are those that don't like Emmanuel. So the question is, are you ready? Are you ready for Emmanuel? Luke chapter 2, Simeon there, Luke chapter 2, you know the story in verses 25 through 32, there of Luke 2, verse 25, the story here of him as he sees Jesus coming. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. He saw it. He was an old man. And so after that, because he was ready for Emmanuel, he could see Jesus when he came, and then he was not afraid to die. Simon saw Jesus. He was not afraid to die because he had seen him, and he felt confident because of that. How can you be ready? Here's the instructions on how to fast and how to mourn and to be ready for Emmanuel. That's what God is asking for, the people to mourn in order to be ready for Emmanuel. Isaiah 58, verses 3 through 10. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to do unto the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye may break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall bring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, the speaking of vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. That's the fast that God has described. How to fast, how to mourn, to care for others, to have pity, to show compassion on the people around. That's the thing that's needed, a mourning, a fast, to be ready for Emmanuel, to care for others. We want to be ready for Jesus, ready for his celebration when he comes, ready for his second return. Have to care for others. Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Then skipping down in the chapter, Isaiah 60, down to verses 19 and 20. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Looking forward to that day when the mourning is ended, looking forward to that day when God will be our bright light, he'll be our everlasting light, won't need the sun or moon because God will be so bright and he'll be with us. That's when the mourning is ended. But first we have to mourn and to be ready for him. Verse 7 now of the song, O come, desire of the nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid every strife and quarrel cease, and fill the world with heaven's peace. Looking forward to that day. That's described here in Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verses 8 through 11. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Verse 11, Lord, when thine hand is lifted up, they will not see.
But they shall see and shall be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Here the people are not ready. Should be ready, but the people are not ready, which means that they don't receive Emmanuel. Here he is. He's called the Desire of Nations. This verse here, he's called the Desire of Nations, and yet he's not desired. Chapter 53 here, verse 2. Isaiah 53, verse 2. The desire of ages, and yet not desired. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus came. He's the desire of nations. And yet, he was not desired. They should have been ready for Emmanuel, but when Jesus finally came, not ready. Not ready. Not wanting him. Nothing about him. Looking forward to seeing. Isaiah 57, verse 18 through 21. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, says the Lord, I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. The options are peace or no peace. The options are ready or not ready. Last verse from Isaiah, Isaiah 66, verses 10 and 12. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her for all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. Verse 12. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. God says, I will extend peace. He will extend peace. He will give it to those who are ready for Emmanuel. You know, when the angels came, they sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. But in order to receive that peace, you must be ready for Emmanuel. Are you ready for Emmanuel? Dear Jesus, at this Christmas season, we celebrate your first advent, your coming here as a little baby. Unfortunately, there were many that were not ready. They were not ready for God with them. And for us, we know that you're coming again soon. And I ask that you will help each one of us to be ready. There's a mourning that we should do, a fasting that we should do. We should care for others. We should extend the peace that we can to the other people around us so that we can receive the peace that you have for us. At this time, we enjoy gifts. We enjoy giving gifts. Help us to give the things to the people around us who need something so that they can be blessed as well, and so that in our hearts, we will be ready for Emmanuel. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mac. Maybe in some of my sermons, you've heard me make a reference to this book, The Desire of Ages. I haven't said very much about the book, but I've read from it in a few of my sermons. And perhaps you're thinking you would like to see that book too. The Desire of Ages. I think it's a wonderful book covering the entire life of Christ, and I've been reading a few sections of it and quoting a few times from it for these Christmas sermons. If you would like this book, The Desire of Ages, call Strong Tower Radio at 231-468-2087. That phone number again, 231-468-2087. Tell them that you would like the book Desire of Ages, and they'll make sure that you get one of those too.
You You have been listening to Mac Mills, pastor of Irons, Frankfort, and Manistee Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you've enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath?